You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. With the primary less than 24 hours behind us, momentum is now picking up for the midterm. The once congested governor's race is going to whittle down to two candidates, and we'll see if California Democrats' attempt to flip Republican congressional seats via Prop 50 came to fruition. Election results, of course, still continuing to roll in. Paul Mitchell is the vice president of Political Data Inc., which tracks ballots across the state. Paul was also the architect of the new congressional maps under Prop 50. Welcome back to Insight.
Thanks for having me.
So waking up with very little sleep, I imagine. What sticks out to you about how the primary went so far yesterday?
Well, we saw an energized electorate. There was concern early on about the voting patterns that were coming in as we were tracking those early ballots. The governor's race, obviously, you know, we did polling and 85% of voters said that they were turning out in this election because of the governor's race. I mean, obviously, local elections matter and sometimes they'll matter even more in our daily lives than, you know, the big statewide elections. But that was what was really driving the electorate. That was kind of the most important thing that they were thinking about as they're deciding, you know, how and when to vote. And then statewide, we have a lot of these congressional districts that are the new districts under Prop 50. So there's a lot of question as to how those races would go. And then we even had some races in districts that weren't really a function of Prop 50, but where we had challengers to incumbent members of Congress up and down the state. So definitely a lot of activity in this election cycle.
Any surprises with the governor's race, or has it kind of began to shake out the way that you forecasted?
Well, the governor's race was interesting because if we had sat down 5 weeks ago, you know, Javier Becerra would have been at 4% in the polls. It was only late in the process when Eric Swalwell drops out after filing. So he was still on the ballot. And, you know, you saw this Becerra surge up into becoming kind of a viable candidate, one of the front runners. And then essentially, you know, the organizations in Sacramento, Planned Parenthood, the firefighters, the medical association, all kind of like came in and bolstered him to this seemingly a victory where he's most likely to face off against Steve Hilton in the runoff, beating a campaign, at least so far, that was, you know, $250 million of spending by Tom Steyer. And all that energy and focus on Democrats and Republicans trying to pick the winner, really depriving previous frontrunner Katie Porter, who comes in at less than 5%, Antonio Villaraigosa, that's at a 1% number, and Matt Mahan, who was at one point seen as the most promising candidate in the field, getting a lot of publicity when he announced and then finishing, you know, at under 4% in the current numbers. So an interesting race that a lot of people, I think, will spend time unpacking.
You were pivotal in drawing the new maps under Prop 50, which voters approved and aimed to give Democrats an advantage in five previously red districts, could still be red districts, depending on how the primary shakes out. So based on the early results so far, is it playing out as expected? Are there any curveballs or surprises?
Well, this is one of those things when the line drawers were drawing districts in Texas, they drew three districts they felt were safe Republican seats and three districts that were more competitive Republican seats. And our districts were kind of the same. It really was a almost one-to-one pushback on what they were doing in Texas. So there were three districts that we were drawing to be extremely safe and then a couple that we thought would still be, you know, competitive general election challenges. Some curveballs. One of them was the state's top two primary system. And we talked a lot about this in the governor's race, but it's also true in legislative and congressional races. And down in San Diego, right before the election, there was a poll done that showed the two Republicans coming in first and second in that race. There was also some private polling being run around here that in the Sacramento region district, the one that goes Rockland, Roseville, West Sac, East Sac, and in through Natomas area, that one could have had Kevin Kiley, who's now an independent, and a Republican making the runoff. So there was a lot of this going on in those particular races. Then in the Central Valley, a very competitive race between Randy Villegas and Jasmeet Bains to be the challenger for David Valadao. And I always tell people that that was like Tallarico Crockett in Texas, where Tallarico was the more moderate candidate and Crockett was the energized, the base, more progressive candidate. It looks right now that the Energize the Base Randy Villegas candidate is ahead in that seat to challenge Valadao, where a lot of the groups like the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, and other more establishment types were trying to get Jasmeet Bains to be the more moderate nominee. So lots of potential curveballs, and I don't know if you want to talk further about any of them.
Yeah, I mean, even heading up to the North State, where you have Modoc County with Marin voters, how is that shaking out? Because I know when it came to Modoc County, they felt like their rural vote is going to be diluted by Marin voters.
Yeah, the most interesting one up in that kind of state of Jefferson footprint is the CD1 race, where James Gallagher is the Republican running against McGuire and Allison and Denny in that race. There's a special election to fill the remainder of the term, and then there is the full election. In both of those, we saw essentially the same thing, and that is that James Gallagher having a lead, and then the two Democrats splitting up the vote with McGuire coming out on top in terms of the Democrats. So James Gallagher versus former Senate pro tem Mike McGuire as the outcome. But what's interesting is the sum of the Democratic votes was more than McGuire's votes. And so it looks like, you know, 45-55, like a 10-point potential lead when you just line up the Democratic and Republican votes. And that's how that district's supposed to perform based on how it was drawn.
That's interesting. I mean, bringing it back to the Sacramento area, there was a lot of like shape-shifting and jumping districts as with Prop 50 once it was approved. I mean, you have Kylie running in Congressional District 6, Ami Barra running in Congressional District 3. Was that the plan, or was that a surprise, like kind of seeing this shape-shifting?
Well, definitely Kevin Kiley was doing a lot of shape-shifting. He initially was potentially going to run in the Congressional District 5, which is more of the inland state, against Tom McClintock. In fact, he spent a bunch of money on digital ads trying to run in that district before he decided instead to run in the 3rd district, which is that Roseville, Rockland. It's been a late night into Sacramento district. Not only did he decide to switch districts, but then the last minute, he said, I'm now an independent. And he re-registered and is running as an independent. Now, the challenge is that there is another Republican in that district. And the fear that we initially had was, what happens if Republicans vote for the candidate with the R and split that vote, with some voting for Kevin Kiley because they know he's really a Republican, and other voters just seeing the R and voting for the Republican, and potentially they could both make it into the top two. And if you look right now, they are first and second. It means that if this result were to hold, the Democrats would essentially have done an own goal, where a district was drawn to be a safe Democratic seat, but then the Democrats fractured their vote and a Republican and a Republican in independent clothing made it through to the general election. Now, we've talked about this in the past. Later voters can perform differently than earlier voters in terms of how people are returning their ballots and the composition of the electorate. We believe that the later ballots to be tabulated, the ones that county registrars have but haven't signature verified and processed yet, that those ballots should favor the Democrat and raise the numbers for all the Democratic candidates. And in doing so, that should push Dr. Richard Pan into the second spot. But right now, this is a lesson to Democrats and Republicans who are watching to not take these elections for granted. Redistricting is building the boundaries of these seats, but voters and candidates decide what happens in them.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're breaking down early results from yesterday's primary election. I want to bring in Rob Stutzman. He is a Republican political consultant and former deputy chief of staff for communications for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hey, Rob, welcome back.
Thank you, Vicki.
What kind of night was it for Republicans across the state? I mean, how are they waking up this morning?
Well, a lot of them are waking up ecstatic because their candidates that are at the moment for governor. Now, some of that may be a little false enthusiasm when they realize that at the end of the day, only about 38% of the vote's going to go to Republican. So, still a tough hill to climb for Steve Hilton. But Republicans haven't had a really good nominee for governor in a long time. And I think Hilton's going to breathe a little energy into Republican voters who are very tired, of course, as not being able to win anything. I'm not sure he can bring home a victory. That would be amazing, and given the registration math in California. But I do think he's going to breathe some energy into California Republican voters that they haven't had in quite a while.
When addressing supporters last night, Hilton referenced Schwarzenegger's successful campaign for governor. I mean, obviously you worked for Schwarzenegger. Do you see any parallels between the two?
Only that they're naturalized citizens and have accents. Other than that, not much. Arnold was the most famous person in the world at the time of that recall, and Arnold was elected through the circumstances of a recall, a true referendum on the sitting governor, Gray Davis. So I think Steve even acknowledged, to be clear, he's not the next Arnold.
Mm-hmm. Let's move to congressional seats following Prop 50. I mean, are there any surprises or big things that stand out to you based on these early returns here for the congressional seats that were targeted under Prop 50?
Yeah, I mean, the most fascinating thing we're watching is what Paul's addressed with this CD6, where Kylie's running as the independent, and the Democrats have the potential to be locked out. I agree with him that I would be surprised if Pan does not overtake the Republican here in the later count and come to a runoff. But Kylie now is an independent on the ballot. Last night in his acceptance speech, or his victory speech, I should say, he was bashing both parties. He has the ability to have a different message than Republicans who have to defend a very unpopular president in the seat. So I think Kylie will be, in a lot of ways, one of the most fascinating candidates to watch anywhere in the country this November, and it's going to be right here in our backyard.
You know, as I've mentioned on multiple occasions, you know, neither the Democratic Party or the Republican Party in California endorsed a candidate for governor. However, Trump has weighed into the race. I mean, President Trump endorsed Steve Hilton. He even endorsed the reality TV star Spencer Pratt in the L.A. mayoral race. Does a Trump endorsement really stick in California at this point in his term?
Well, I think with Republicans, it does. He's popular with Republican voters, especially primary voters. If they were looking for a signal on who they should be picking between Steve Hilton and Chad Bianco. But yeah, I think Hilton was going to win this anyway, even without that endorsement. He was a better candidate. He had a better organized campaign. He raised more money. He's been working at it longer and probably working at it harder. He's got a bit of that Fox News fame from when he had a show on the cable network. So yeah, Trump's endorsement helps, but it's not determinative. There was a candidate in Iowa last night running for governor, Randy Feenstra, who Trump had endorsed, and he lost. So you still got to go out and run the best campaign.
Given that California has been under Democratic Party control for decades, with supermajorities also in the state legislature, but a majority of Californians, I mean, even in recent polling, you know, feel the state is headed in the wrong direction. You know, those ongoing issues, affordability, homelessness, gas prices, the list goes on. Do you think that these are signs, that you're seeing these signs kind of show up in primaries results, that's motivating voters to look at other candidates?
Well, I think you could take that away from the LA mayor's results so far, where Spencer Pratt is in a pretty good position today to advance to the runoff. We'll see how the rest of the votes come in, but he's probably performing better than most people thought, over 30% right now. Look, I think there's a lot of frustration with one-party governance, and most Californians aren't so sure that's going that well. The problem for Republicans is they're still the Republicans in California. And so whereas people may get frustrated with the blue state governance here in California, they're not ready to turn it over to the party that's run by Donald Trump. And we saw this when Newsom was under recall in 21. When you would ask the recall question, yes, no, there were times in polling where he was underwater, where people were ready to recall him. But as soon as he had a standard issue MAGA Republican candidate, everything snaps back to 60-40, which is what happened in that recall. So, yes, there's mounting frustration, but with this current iteration of the Republican Party under Donald Trump, it's difficult for Republicans here to find headroom to be able to make the type of gains necessary to actually win statewide.
You know, Paul, you just flew up from Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm going to bring up the mayoral race because it has gained nationwide attention. Has it been fun for you to watch this race?
Oh, I mean, Spencer Pratt is Karen Bass is the incumbent. Spencer Pratt is the reality TV star that I'd never heard of before, but he's got AI slop all over social media. He is very out there in the way that he talks. He is almost the most Trump-like in his mannerisms, his in unwillingness to kind of play by the same rules as everybody else. He runs around in these baseball hats that say Pratt and has the LA Dodgers logo right in the middle of it, and he doesn't care. I mean, a traditional candidate wouldn't be copyright violations everywhere just every day. So he's definitely different. Now, what's interesting, and I agree with Rob that he is in a good position to make the runoff, but it is noteworthy that a more traditional former Republican, Rick Caruso, in the initial mayor's race 4 years ago, he was at 42% on election night. He was ahead of Karen Bass by 5 points. The early numbers for Spencer Pratt are 26. So he's underperforming Rick Caruso because he's not capturing those more middle-of-the-road voters. And he could lose still to Nithya Raman if, like Caruso, he loses, you know, 7 or so points in the next sets of ballots. So it's possible he falls off of the top two, but I'm hoping just for entertainment purposes that he is in the runoff.
Make for interesting debates. Paul and Rob, thank you so much for joining us. It's really just the beginning. We got 5 months until the general.
Buckle up.
Yeah, thanks.
Paul Mitchell is the vice president of Political Data, Inc., which tracks ballot returns across the state. Rob Stutzman is a Republican political consultant. We've been breaking down the early results from yesterday's primary election. Still ahead, we'll have a conversation about the controversial use of social media by some campaigns as we look ahead to November. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.